Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that music this morning and the message and the song. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 4, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, I'll be reading two verses this morning, verse 8 and verse 9. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together if you're able to. As I read, you follow right along with me. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it's already been just sensing your presence in this place and being ministered to through song. And now, God, as we have opened up your holy word and we have read these two verses, I believe, God, that you have a message for each one of us in these verses. So I pray that you might work in me as an instrument in your hand to present the message that you have for our people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 8, in the very last, it says, think on these things. Every believer is to train their minds to think right. Now, God has designed the brain to be trained. From infancy, even through old age, you still can teach an old dog a new trick. Amen. Because the brain has been designed to be trained. We know that sinful and negative thoughts will hinder the peace of mind that God wants us to have, no matter what the circumstances. In verse 9 it says, after it presents some things and talks to us about having those things modeled, not only through the Apostle Paul, by the Lord Jesus Christ as well, it says, and the God of peace, if we do this, and the God of peace shall be with you. If we have the God of peace with us, then we will have peace. Yeah. As we live life, all of us will face all sorts of circumstances. Circumstances are things that we have no control over for the most part. Webster's definition of circumstance is this: a particular thing. Now, if you notice all the times in that verse 8, it says whatsoever things. A particular thing which in some way affects an action, decision, or direction of life. We all face those every day. A particular thing which in some way affects an action, a decision, or direction in life. The key to addressing all the circumstances of life that we'll face is in God's instructions of think on these things. They're listed. God lists them for us. In chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, whatsoever things are true. The very first thing that he lists that we need to make sure that we're thinking on these things, that we have these things on our minds and on our hearts, the whatsoever things, the very first one of the whatsoever things is that of truth. For me, and I think there might be other things, but for me, the most important thing that I keep on my mind and I think about concerning truth is the Bible. No matter what I'm facing in life, no matter what circumstance I might have confront me, what I need to have on my mind in dealing with those circumstances, no matter what they might be, is truth. And there is no other truth than what God has written down and preserved for us. Not philosophy, but truth. The Bible over in the book of Titus in chapter 1. Let me just read it to you. But Titus in chapter 1, it says this, the first three verses. Paul says that Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth. As Paul writes to Titus, this idea is, Titus, you have to have truth on your mind. You have to have the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. If it's in the Bible, it's not, God cannot lie. This is God's word to us. Promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God has chosen for us to take the word of God and preach the word of God so that people that come under the hearing of the preaching of the word of God can gain truth and understanding from the Bible. I don't know what kind of circumstances we're going to face day by day. We never know what a day may bring. But whatever circumstances we're faced with in every day of our lives, can I tell you, if you would begin by thinking on this thing of the Bible, which is connected to peace. Now, we got to train our minds to think about Scripture. As I counsel people, I always give Scripture. I always give them something of truth that the Bible says to base what they're facing on. And if you will think about what the Bible says when you're facing the circumstances of life, it's what you need to have this peace of mind. But we have to train ourselves because the mind outside of being trained will go to the imaginations. And the imaginations are always the very last thing that you need to be thinking about. Satan has powerful influence on the imagination of the human mind. And you'll always imagine it to be far worse than what it could be and would be if you focus on Christ and his truths. So the first thing, whatsoever thing to keep on your mind to think about, when you're facing life, is the Word of God. Because it'll never change. It's truth. The second thing that we look to that we find the Apostle Paul gives in the book of Philippians on thinking on these things, the whatsoever things or the things that are honest. Honest. Webster's dictionary would be defining that as honorable, worthy of thought. For me, the most honest thing that I can think on is the presence of God. I don't want to face any circumstances of life without thinking about the presence of God. Because when you know who God is and you train yourself to understand as a born-again believer, He will never leave us nor forsake us. And you train your mind to, when you face something, whether it's something that just comes out of nowhere or something that you've had a long time in preparing for, when you think on His presence, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. I love what the psalmist writes in Psalm 139. And let me just read this to you. Again, write it down. You want to refer back to it. But the Psalms in chapter 139. The Bible says, the psalmist writes, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Sometimes I ask God to help me to know me like He knows me. I don't know why I'm thinking what I think. I don't know why I'm feeling like I feel. Sometimes I am so confused about myself. But I have a God who knows me better than I know me. The psalmist says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and You know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Wow. That's truth that's associated with the presence of God. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I don't know how You do it. I'm just thankful that You do. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, Thou art there. So every place between the grave and heaven, He's there. Yeah. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shalt Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. Are you thinking on that? When you're facing what you have to face, are you thinking on His presence, on His truths? Praise the Lord. Go back with me here at our text, because the next one, the whatsoever things or the things that are just, truth, honesty, just, righteous, not selfish. Righteous thoughts. For me, I think of that which is just which is righteous in my life. It's my service to God. God's call for my life. My place in God's scheme of things. If you know God, and you understand that once you get saved, He has a purpose and a plan for your life. We need to keep in mind God's purpose and plan for our lives. Because it's righteous. It's not according to what I want. It's not according to things that I'm looking forward for myself. But it's things that I'm aware of. God, if you bring this into my life, then you have a purpose for it because I am your servant. I want to represent you. I want to serve and accomplish what you have me here to accomplish. And so whatever it is that comes into my life, you're in control of it. You have to allow it into my life. Not that you cause it, but you have to allow it into my life. And if you allow it into my life, then you have a righteous plan. A just plan. For whatever that is. What a difference that'll make. What a difference it will. Think on these things. Think on these things. The whatsoever things of truth, of honesty, of just. He goes on. And he says the next thing, verse 8, is whatsoever things, or if you will, the things that are pure. Morally clean, holy. Definition. Morally clean, pure, holy. What is that? I know what it's not. But what is that? Morally pure, holy. His love for me. When I think about that, when I read that and I study that and I was praying, Lord, help me. What would be, what things, whatsoever things that are pure, what would be the things that are pure that you have helped me to keep on my life, on my mind that I look to when I'm facing circumstances that I have no control over? And that would be my love for God. Because it's what keeps me doing right. My love for God keeps me from thinking of unholy things and focusing on that which is not morally clean. It helps me. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. There's so many applications to what happens here between Jesus and Simon Peter, but I think it's Jesus helping Peter to keep on his mind pure thoughts. There's not any more of a pure thought than my love for God, because it helps keep me doing right. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, verse 15, chapter 21, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, you can go a lot of different directions on what he's talking about, these, what he's pointing to, but it doesn't matter what it was. Do you love God more? Your love of God more than temporary enjoyment you might be able to get from an immoral thought? Do you love God more than focusing on things in your mind that are not pure and holy? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, if you love me, then keep it on your mind, because that's what you're going to have to keep on your mind if you're going to feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, have you trained your mind to think about your love for me, Simon? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you have that on your heart, in your heart? Do you have that on your mind? It's the most pure thought that you can have on your mind and in your heart. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Because they're not always going to be lovable. If you only feed the sheep that you can love, you might not always feed the sheep. Because sometimes we have to love those that are unlovable at times. And the only way that I'm able to do that is to keep my thinking on the love of God, my love for God. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, a third time, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? But do you think Peter ever forgot this? I don't think so. He made sure that Peter would have remembrance of this particular thought for this particular event. If you're going to serve me, if you're going to continue to accomplish what I have you on there in this world to accomplish, then you're going to have to think on these things. And one of the things that you're going to have to think on is that is which is pure and the purest thought that a person can have. That'll keep you doing the right things is my love for God. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Do the work I've called you to do. Think on these things. Think on these things. The fifth thing that he presents in the whatsoever things. The things that are lovely. Definition. Kind. Gracious. Positive. Kind, gracious, positive for me. It has to be God's love for me. My love for God is possibly the purest thought I can have, but then the most lovely thought that I can have is God's love for me. Because God's love for me is real and it's powerful. I must never lose sight, no matter what I'm dealing with, of God's love for me. It's lovely. It's positive. It's something that will change me. The circumstances won't change, but how I deal with the circumstances will change. I won't get angry at God. I won't get bitter at God because of the circumstances. Because God loves me. If Satan can get you to doubt the love of God for you, then he will fill your heart with bitterness. He will fill your heart with anger. He'll fill your heart with all of the things that will be a hindrance to your peace of mind. But if you can just think on these things and know beyond the shadow of a doubt, no matter what I have to face in this life, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God loves me. What a lovely thought. Proof positive as you look back to the cross of Calvary. Kind, gracious, positive. It's real and it's powerful. Think on these things. I must think on this. The last one, number six. The whatsoever things, or if you will, the things that are of good report. Good report. Worthy. Positive. Helpful. Have you ever just discarded a thought because once you thought about it, you realize that's not very helpful? That's not very positive. And that's not worthy of my time. Yeah. So we know what not possibly to keep on our minds. But of good report. For me, the greatest thing that has been reported that I need to keep on my mind is God's promises. Whatsoever things, the things of good report, can I tell you, the Bible reveals to me something that we need to have a report of, we need to understand, and that will help us in dealing with the circumstances of life, and that they are God's promises. The book of 2 Peter in chapter 1, let me just read this to you. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things, that connection is things, that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's helping us to see how important it is, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's promises, there's so many. But I guess if there's one that I need to keep on my mind, that I try to keep on my mind, especially when I'm facing some difficult circumstances of life, is the promise of heaven. The older I get, the more important that is. I have a greater peace and understanding of heaven today than I've ever had in my whole life. The reality of it. Yeah. Because no matter what you face in this life, all things come to pass. While you're in the middle of it, you don't think it's ever going to pass. You don't think that you'll ever get through it. You might not see a way through it. But can I guarantee you, according to the promises of God, all things of this life come to pass. Heaven comes to stay. Promises of heaven and what it's going to be like and who's going to be there come to stay. Whenever this life is over, No matter what I have to face in this life, no matter what I have to go through in this life, I have the promises of God. And the one promise that I think is very helpful to keep on our minds is the reality of heaven. When you know it's real, when you're facing death, there's a peace. I experienced it. Peace like I've never experienced before. One that, as I mentioned to you before, I was ready. There was such a peace that drew me, and I didn't see a white light. I just felt the presence of God, the reality of heaven, and I thought, Lord, I'm ready. Because it's real. Chapter 4, after he goes through those six things, he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, this is what we have to do. Think on these things. Back in chapter 2 and verse 5, this is what Paul writes. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not only did Paul know the importance of him keeping these things on his mind, but he reveals to us it's what Jesus kept on his mind. In closing this morning, can I get you to ask yourself something? Only you and God know. What is most often on your mind? Most often. I'm not talking about when you come to Sunday school or when you come to church, when you're under the preaching of the word. What is most often on your mind? I believe that will help you to understand possibly why you might not have the peace of God. Our thinking will place us in a state of mind. Our state of mind will determine our peace and our joy. As per the Word of God, we must train our minds to think on these things. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. What's most often on our minds? Is it the six things that God tells you to keep on our minds? Does even one of them appear on a regular basis? What a difference it will make if you can focus on those six things when you face the circumstances that you have no control of in life. Father, we bow before you now. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word and the instructions of your word. You know what we have need of. And as I have preached this passage of Scripture this morning and trying to give an understanding of what these things are, I pray that you would now help each one to make applications. Maybe the reason that some cannot think on these things is that they have never received you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, God, if that's the case, that you would help those individuals to come to this altar and receive you Because in receiving you, they receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that can help remind them of these things. I pray, God, that you would work now in the midst of this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.